Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for joining us here on the program today. Brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium Diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. On today's program, we're going to learn more about the Be Sure campaign from Growing Matters coming up in segment two. We're going to talk with Jeff Smith from Valent as well as Katie Savinelli from Syngenta and talk about some of their roles with their companies and how it ties in with this Be Sure campaign from Growing Matters and things like treated seed and good stewardship, etc. Looking forward to that conversation coming up here in segment two today. In segment three, after the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by two farmers who are currently on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. They're talking about ag labor and the need for ag labor reforms with the American Farm Bureau Federation. Laura Hafner from Hayes, Kansas, and Nick Oman from Oceana County, Michigan are going to join us here on the program and give us their thoughts and perspective on what we are seeing in terms of ag labor and some of the changes that need to happen. Ag labor is one of the biggest costs and challenges for our farmers right now in the U.S. So we're going to talk to them about that. They are in the Capitol building as we speak, and they're going to be joining us for a conversation coming up here in segment three today. And then at the end of the show, we're going to take a look at news headlines, and we have some more thoughts on the farm bill. Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, she has made comments recently that she doesn't want to see the nutrition title or more get stripped away from this farm bill to some degree in order to help fund a farm bill. And there's been some back and forth on that, and she's shared that some of her comments have been taken out of context. Well, she's made some new comments that seem to double down on her original ones at this week's AgriPulse Food and Policy Summit. So we're going to hear that and more coming up in our news headlines at the end of today's program here on AOA. Well, first up, let's take a look at what's going on in the markets here as we look at midweek trade. Jeff French with Ag Hedgers is going to join us here in just a second as we kind of see a mixed bag here in the trade with soybeans pushing higher, wheat pushing lower, and corn kind of caught in between here. Overall, just kind of another mixed bag. Jeff French with Ag Hedgers joins us. Jeff, thanks for being with us. It looks like soybeans kind of the star of the show on Wednesday's trade. Any thoughts with this bean market here and maybe some of the strength we're getting ahead of the USDA reports coming up here next week? What are you seeing right now?
Got up to 11.99 here today. Last trade, 11.92. So clear psychological resistance up at $12. And also probably after, you know, a 75-cent rally, off the lows here in the last 3 weeks. There's probably some producer selling interest up there. But, yeah, pretty choppy trade here. Definitely marking time. But we did have crude oil yesterday trade up to $83 a barrel. That was a five-month high. That is helping the bean complex. Also, palm oil futures are trading at nine-month high. So that is helping the edible oil. So definitely helping the soy oil in that complex as well. But corn just seems to be tight in this range, 440, 445 top in the May. Doesn't really want to get above that. And there's some technical issues. I mean, it's through the 20-day moving average, but we are struggling to get through the 50-day moving average. So the funds right now, you know, they are not quite record short the crops. They were 2 weeks ago, but they are still substantially short this corn, bean, and wheat complex. How long they hold on to that going into a growing season, you know, we'll have to see. But looking down in South America, there are good rains forecasted mm-hmm. for Mato Grosso next week. So if they do get those rains falling, you know, this safrinha corn crop looks to be off to a very good start.
Yeah, and you mentioned how those funds aren't quite as short as they have been, but still, I mean, near some of those record positions. And I have to wonder, you brought up farmers selling. I'd have to wonder that if, you know, this corn market, for instance, if we could get some fives back in front of it or close to it, and soybeans, if we could hang on to some 12s here, if that could spur on more farmers selling, either heading into the end of the month reports, Jeff, or potentially if we get a surprise out of that report, maybe immediately after. What's your thoughts there?
Well, I think you need a trigger and you need a catalyst, and it's either going to come from a surprise from the USDA, or we got to get into our growing season here in North America and get into either a planting problem. Maybe, you know, who knows? We got forecast rains here in the Midwest. Maybe it, you know, turns really cold and wet during planting. I mean, who knows? I mean, this weather has been really wild this winter. But you need a trigger for these funds to really start buying back those 250,000, 260,000 contracts of corn. But again, it will happen quickly. All you have to do is change the perception, and that door to buy back those contracts is only so big. So when everybody goes to the rush, it's going to be something that hits hard. But right now, we just need that fundamental catalyst, and this time of the year, you know, late March, before planting, there's not much to take, and that's why we've seen volume over the last 2 weeks down very low. I mean, it's just a very quiet, choppy trade.
How about the livestock trade, Jeff? Cattle have been kind of sideways here a little bit this week, it seems like, and the hog market's down a little bit here the last couple of days, but largely looking at these markets, any big things stand out to you in the protein sector that we got to keep an eye on? I know with cattle, of course, got an odd feed report coming up on Friday.
Yeah, we'll address that here first. The on-feed estimates, 101%, placements at 106%. There are some analysts thinking that it could be 110%. So definitely higher placements, but that is because of the weather that we had in January that pushing. So maybe placing a little bit more animals, probably at higher weights, but the marketing is very strong at 105%. So, you know, the cattle complex has been very strong. Since we made our lows in early December, we've pretty much just gone straight up from then. Now, during the last about 3 to 4 weeks, though, we've kind of plateaued up here, and we got within, you know, $6 of that 190 range. And that 190 to $200 on the fat cattle definitely is some psychological resistance, and also on the feeder cattle at 270. So, you know, I don't think from the supply side, I don't think you're going to get the prices to move lower. I mean, this for prices to move lower in the cattle, it's going to definitely come from the demand side or outside money flow. I mean, the supply is just simply not there. We've been talking about it here for the last multiple months. But hogs got up to that 105 in July. I'm actively telling my producers, hey, look at your margins out to summer. You got $20 to $30 per head profit. You know, look to start booking some of that in the summer month hogs.
Jeff, always good to talk with you. We'll get you back on the show again real soon. Thanks for joining us on AOA. Appreciate it. Have a great week, Jeff.
Thanks, Jesse.
Jeff French with Ag Hedgers joining us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Keep Cenex in mind with their premium diesel and learn more at cenex.com. Up next, we're going to learn more about the Be Sure campaign from Growing Matters here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Right now, one out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. The V Foundation has the skill, the speed, and the strength to achieve victory over cancer. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Right now, we want to learn more about the Growing Matters 2024 Be Sure campaign. And joining us to discuss, we have Jeff Smith with Valent and Katie Savinelli with Syngenta. They're joining us here on the show today. And Jeff, Katie, thank you both for being with us on AOA. Hope you're doing well.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, let's just start and kind of set this up, because I know that the Be Sure campaign is a bit of a coalition. So why don't you both give us a little background on your roles in agriculture and what you do? Katie, if you want to go ahead and start first.
Sure. As mentioned, Katie Savinelli, I am the head of stewardship at Syngenta. My role is really to make sure that our products are used properly, including the neonicotinoid products, which is why we have the Be Sure campaign. And then the other part of it is, you know, it's really a coalition. So not one company is really saying the same message. We're all working together. This is non-competitive space, but we all really work well together, just making sure that farmers understand how best to use our products so that it's not causing harm to the environment and pollinators.
All right. Jeff, how about you?
And I am a senior manager of industry affairs for Valent USA. I'm based here in Georgia, but I cover the entire U.S. And my role really, as Katie talked about stewardship, I really work directly with the grower groups, and I work on freedom to operate issues and things like Be Sure that are really key to interact with grower groups and make sure they get the messaging and help promote the messaging from our companies throughout their membership in the U.S.
All right. So let's talk a little bit more about the Be Sure campaign, its mission, its messages surrounding stewardship, and why it's important to practice proper stewardship. Can you maybe both give us some thoughts on the campaign and why it's important to practice proper stewardship?
The Be Sure campaign is really important. And, you know, we all have to be reminded every year all of the things that need to be done relative to during the planting season, the foliar application season, and also the soil treatments. And it's really, we want to make sure that our products are used properly and we're not causing harm to pollinators. And these reminders, either through your platform today, we also have PSAs, we do social, we really try to get out to as large of an audience as possible so that they're just They hear it again. They think about it. And so when they're getting ready to plant corn, which is not that far away in time, they start saying, okay, if I do certain practices, such as planting corn, make sure I use the right lubricant. Also, if I have a spill, cover it up. But just really thinking about all the things that you need to do to make sure that everything works really well.
Definitely. Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's basically a stewardship awareness campaign. You know, growers get busy this time of year. You know, we really focus as registrants on the label and the importance of the label and all the information that a grower needs to use a product effectively to protect themselves and also to protect the environment. But, you know, as growers get busy this time of year, we like to try to remind them of certain practices such as IPM, you know, using products the way, you know, keeping products in the field, having your applicator equipment set up properly, making sure that you're using the proper technology with your seed treatments, lubricants, things to prevent dusting, things around pollinators. You want to make sure you're using products at the right time, in the right place, the right rate, and, you know, using things like buffers, anything, communication, anything to do to protect off field movement of our products around neonics.
Well, you guys brought up a few good points here, and, you know, with farmers getting ready to get busy in the field, let's talk about some of the reminders that you guys would want to push through the Be Sure campaign, and whether we're talking treated seed or foliar applications, what are some quick reminders that both farmers and applicators can really follow? Katie, do you want to start there?
Sure. And I just want to mention about treated seed. I think treated seed, you know, we have a lot of questions about treated seed, and Jeff often points this out to me. Treated seed really is precision agriculture because it's a very precise rate on each seed. It definitely fits into integrated pest management because it's part of the overall picture. It controls early season pests, which is the right time because you want to have strong, healthy crops. And the best way to get strong, healthy crops is to get them out of the ground, get the roots going. And so that's really the part of it. And in terms of the actual seed treatment, you know, planting is important, covering it up, using the right, as Jeff mentioned, lubricants so that there's not a lot of dust. If there is dust, there are equipment nowadays that points the dust to the ground so you're not having it go up into the air. And so there's just a lot of good things. And one last thing I really want to mention, I think farmers are well aware of the practices they do, but they need to be reminded, but they're also well aware of, you know, helping pollinators. I don't think any farmer out there wants to harm pollinators. They really want to do the right thing.
Yeah. Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll just follow up on seed treatment. And the whole purpose of this campaign is the importance of neonics. So neonics are really a core insecticide foundation of all most seed treatments in corn and soybeans and other crops throughout the U.S. And that's really for their benefits. They're highly effective. They don't harm a lot of non-target insects. They're good for the environment. They're good for people. So we really want to make sure that they're used properly. If you use them according to label, there are less impacts. And so it's really about just that reminder and making sure that they are used properly. And then I just wanted to say that, we talked about keeping the product where it is in the field. So one of the things, Katie mentioned pollinators. So there's a program called Field Watch, for instance, where it's a notification program where, you know, beekeepers can notify applicators where their hives are, things like that. Those are stewardship type practices that we want to promote to make sure that we keep the neonics around for years to come.
Well, you guys had mentioned there with treated seed, and I should ask this, you know, what are some reminders? What should farmers do with leftover or unused treated seed? I'm sure there's some important reminders there in terms of what they should do with it if they don't use it. Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
First things first, if you have any leftover seed on top of the ground, the end rows or anything, let's just make sure we cover that up. Or where you're putting seed into your planter, make sure if there's any seed on the ground, make sure we either pick it up or cover it up. But in terms of like seed, when you're done with it, obviously if you're going to do any additional planting that year, you want to return it to its original bag and keep it in storage until you're using it. But if you have large amounts, you want to either work with your local dealer distributor to return it or follow state disposal guidelines that are published. Katie, you might want to follow up on that.
Yeah, I think the disposal guidelines are really important. And there's a group called TPSA, which is the Pesticide Stewardship Alliance. And they also have a map of the United States. And you can zero in on the map of the United States in your particular state. And you can also see recommendations for not only seed treatments, but for other products to be properly disposed of. So I think it's really important that we talk a lot about neonics. I think neonics form the basis of all of this, but I think a lot of the practices we talk about apply to other insecticides, apply to other products. And so I think we're lucky to have this Be Sure campaign and be able to get the word out.
Well, and I think too, with this entire campaign, and you know, you made the point earlier, Katie, a lot of farmers know their practices and proper stewardship. And we think about all the different information that's found on the label. And I always hear the term, you know, read and follow label directions. And I think that's a key reminder here as well, right? Just to, for farmers to make sure farmers and applicators that they're following proper directions and proper application on their operations, right? Katie, do you want to start there?
That is absolutely correct. The label has a lot of good information. We are working towards even improving the information on the seed tags to make sure that it's easier. But at the same time, we don't want to have a 10-inch seed tag that you can't read because the font's too small. But at the same time, there's a lot of information that's either on the label or the seed tag that farmers should follow. And the other thing I want to mention, you know, when we talk about stewardship practices are typically best management practices that aren't necessarily on the label, but they're something that we, you know, encourage and want people to follow, because it's not something that, you know, the people aren't, it's not legally enforced, but at the same time, you know, some of these things, you know, there is kind of like common sense.
Sure. Jeff, any thoughts?
I want to add just one quick thing about seed treatments in general. And this is sort of, we talk a lot about seed treatments. We talk a lot about pollinators. And I think something that doesn't get mentioned enough is that currently the neonics are going through what we call re-registration. And so EPA is looking at pollinators. They're looking at human health. They're looking at all the different aspects of getting a registration. And when they did, EPA did the assessment of seed treatments and pollinators, they said it's a low risk to pollinators. And this is pollen and nectar. Now, low risk, you're saying, well, that's not zero risk. EPA doesn't believe in zero risk. There's no such thing as no risk. But just the mere fact that it's low risk, pollen and nectar to pollinators is really important. I think we need to remind everybody that, because I think sometimes people just assume because you have a neonic on the seed, it must be getting into the pollen and nectar.
All right, Jeff, any follow-ups there?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'll just reiterate again, you know, start with the label. You know, the neonics, as Katie said, are going through registration review. There'll be additional mitigations applied at some point in the future. It's a continually updated process based on data. Also work with your extension folks in the state on best management practices. There's not only guidelines on labels, websites for our companies. There's often stewardship information specific to our products. But, you know, just working with your local extension service will help you with guidelines around best management practices, when and where to use products and best fit.
Well, I know folks can learn more online, growingmatters.org/be sure. With that, Jeff Smith with Valent, Katie Savinelli with Syngenta. Thank you both for joining us here on the program today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be back on AOA, brought to you by Cenex, right after this.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
You're listening to AOA. Here's a check at markets from the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra. May corn futures are roughly 30 cents off their February low. That while May soybeans are about 64 cents off their lows, that after trading nearly 90 cents off those lows last week. The various wheat markets are roughly 10 to 20 cents off their lows. Fund managers still hold large short positions in these markets, although they've started to unwind them as we enter into a period of higher weather risk. Corn and soybean prices are encountering greater farmer selling on this rebound, that on both sides of the equator. Risks for being heavily shorts are elevated, but none of these commodities currently has a story worthy of sustaining a rally. The next best opportunity would be a hot, dry April for Brazil's winter corn crop, if that were to unfold, but that's still an unknown. The U.S. corn export pace continues to run above the U.S. Department of Agriculture estimate, with much thanks to near-record imports by Mexico. China, on the other hand, has sourced most of its corn from Ukraine and Brazil. China Customs reports for the January-February period of 2024 indicate China had imported 4.1 million metric tons of Brazil's total 6.2 million metric tons of exports. On the soybean side, U.S. soybean export demand continues to run lower than USDA projections. That as number one buyer China has bought most of its soybeans from Brazil. China Customs reports for the January-February 2024 period show China imported nearly 7 million metric tons of Brazilian beans versus just 2.2 million metric tons a year ago. That's up 211% compared to last year. Russian wheat offers continue to be the world's cheapest, but have firmed up to $202 to $203 per metric ton. That compared to $198 per metric ton free on board a week ago. Russia is looking at a third straight bumper crop, so they continue to try to unload old crop supplies. You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with Markets for the American Ag Network.
We are the nation's largest integrated healthcare system, providing life-changing care to over 9 million veterans.
Our hands are busy. Competent, skilled, healing, helping, and friendly. A place where diverse teams come together hand in hand to provide full patient-centered care. Working in state-of-the-art facilities with influential leaders in healthcare, all with a single goal in mind: to help veterans heal, recover, and get their lives back in a place where everyone plays a part and where your efforts are truly appreciated. A place so innovative and forward-thinking that we're rebuilding hands and where even robots lend a hand.
Join hands with us. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And thank you for joining us here on AOA Today. Agriculture of America brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at cenex.com. Well, right now we want to talk about ag labor and get farmer perspective on the challenges surrounding ag labor here across the country. And joining us right now, a couple of farmers who are with the American Farm Bureau Federation, and they are currently on Capitol Hill. They are actually joining us from the Capitol building here today. We have with us Laura Hafner from Hays, Kansas, and Nick Ullman from Oceana County, Michigan. And Laura, Nick, thank you both for joining us here on AOA Today. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We appreciate the opportunity.
Well, let's just start. And Laura, why don't you kind of give us some background and thoughts, talk about your operation and some of the challenges surrounding ag labor that you are facing, because I know for both of you, ag labor is one of those top challenges on your operation. So Laura, why don't you give us a little bit of perspective?
Yes, you absolutely nailed it, Jesse. If we don't get labor right, we don't have to worry about any of the other issues that we face with our business, because we won't have a business. I'm from Northwest Kansas. My husband, Ryan, and I have a grain farm there, but our major focus is our custom harvest. Texas, Acadian. One of the challenges we face in Northwest Kansas is we have a very small population out there, and we just had numbers come out from our unemployment, and we are sitting about 1.9% unemployment. So coupled with a very small population and a very low unemployment rate, that really limits options for choosing our team members, and we're all competing for those same individuals. So as a result, the H-2A program, the guest worker visa program, has given us the means to help fill those gaps that we can't fill with our domestic workforce.
All right. Nick, your thoughts on some of the challenges you see on your operation when it comes to ag labor. I'm sure many of the same challenges that Laura faces, even though you guys are in two different parts of the country.
Yes, yeah, so we're a little further away, a little different industry. We do fruit and vegetable production in the west side of Michigan. Some of the challenge, we've been using the H2A program since like 2013. And the main, it's been a sustainable program that gets us labor when we need it, when we're short. We've been heavily relying on that throughout the years more and more just because the domestic workforce has kind of disappeared and gone to do other things. So the main challenge we're facing now isn't necessarily the ability to get workers from a foreign country, but just the cost associated with it. We've seen the fee structure rise to the point where, you know, last year it was, they've limited petitions, so you can only include 25 workers on a petition where usually you could do more, so that, and then attach fees accordingly with that. So we're paying higher fees to get the same workforce we hurt here this year that we didn't have to pay last year. The other thing is just the rising costs associated with it. It's gotten to a point where we're making decisions now because of the high costs of labor, that there's some commodities and some vegetables that we're just not going to be able to produce because we just simply can't afford to harvest them.
Well, and I wonder, thinking about H2A reforms and ag labor in general, I know this has been an ongoing conversation on Capitol Hill for quite a few years, and it's a tough conversation, and it feels like it's kind of going along some partisan divides, so to speak. And we've had opportunities to pass this, you know, pass reforms before, and we haven't quite got it across the finish line. So can you both talk about some of the things you are stressing to lawmakers there this week on Capitol Hill, why this is important and why, you know, some reforms to H2A programs and more needs to get across the finish line? Laura, do you want to start?
Yeah, one of the things that we need to do right now is to freeze the AWER rate. We certainly value our workers. They become like family members to us. They're a very important part of our team. But unfortunately, right now, the AWER rate is outpacing what the industry can absorb. With the input costs currently, with farmers and the pressures, with all of that, we've already taken price increases, and simply put, the market just currently can't absorb those continual increases in the A word. For example, because of the differentiation between the different job categories now and the changes in those rates, we've seen rates increase for our team members over 50% just from last year to this year. So very difficult for the marketplace to absorb those changes.
Yeah. Nick, your thoughts on that. Can we get some of these changes across the finish line? What are you stressing to lawmakers this week?
I think we're just trying to tell our story and try to emulate to them that we're having a really hard time. Growers are going out of business. This isn't an issue that they can keep kicking down the road. We need action, and we need it now. The trouble with that is it is one of those issues that it's attached to immigration. It's attached to the border. There's a lot of hot buttons that get pushed when you talk about this issue. So we're trying to stress, you know, this is an H2A program. We're trying to separate a little bit from immigration and the border. We've got a legal workforce that can come here and work. We just need help with the execution. So an AWER freeze is one of the things that we're advocating for. That would buy some time for the legislature to come back and forth and try to get a long-term fix or solution to this program. But right now we just need some immediate help.
Well, I think about this too. I mean, getting some of that immediate help, you know, and you both talk about the challenges with the costs and more associated with finding good quality labor on your operations. I mean, you couple that with rising interest rates and cost of production as far as your input costs and more. I mean, as these prices go up, 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 and up, I think, Nick, you kind of just hit on this. You know, a lot of folks are going out of business more so than we want to see, you know, and it just makes for a tough situation all around when you combine everything together into the overall situation that we have right now, and not only in agriculture, but across the country, right?
Yeah, correct. You take the interest rates that guys are paying to even run their business and couple that with rising costs. And then keep in mind, in a lot of cases, at least heavily in ag, you know, we're price takers. We don't get to set our price. We don't get to tell somebody what they're going to buy corn for us, or tell somebody what they're going to buy a box of cabbage or asparagus from us from. You know, we have to take what the market will give us. And we're unfortunately stuck in a scenario where everything is rising and we're not getting any more. We've got no more wiggle room. The only option left is either we see some action within the policies, or we're making the choice what we can grow, what we can afford to do, and whether we go out of business or not.
Well, and the scary thing with that is that it's not just farmers and ranchers that are experiencing this issue. If farmers and ranchers or harvesters go out of business, this affects Main Street America as well.
And that's, I'm glad you brought that up, Laura. Expand upon that a little bit more, because I feel like not only is this something that affects just farmers and ranchers and agriculture, but some of that is going to end up getting, or all of that for that matter, is going to end up getting passed down to the consumer, to Main Street, et cetera, the prices in our grocery stores and more of that. I mean, it's kind of that trickle down domino effect, isn't it?
It absolutely is. You know, our consumers are going to feel the punch. It's a national security issue. We want to be able to produce safe, efficient food right here in America for our fellow citizens. But also, in addition to the consumers who eat the food, you know, we purchase a lot of inputs, you know, on Main Street in these small towns that we travel to. This affects the fuel man, the grocery store owner, the cafe who feeds these workers, and our team members. There's so many people affected in this just outside of the farmer or the farm gate.
Well, final thoughts from both of you as well. Again, I know you're on Capitol Hill this week doing your part to tell agriculture story with the folks at the American Farm Bureau Federation. I mean, what do you want other farmers and ranchers to think about? What can they do to make their voice heard? What do you want consumers maybe listening in and hearing about some of these challenges? What do you want to tell them as well? You guys both have a few final thoughts for us.
I think if we're sitting at home listening to this, or you're driving listening to this, I think the number one thing I would suggest as we've walked around is for everybody listening to just make some noise, be a voice, talk to your senators, talk to your congressmen. You do whatever you can to get in front of anybody, send the emails, send the letter, make a phone call, do whatever you can to keep putting pressure on, to keep making noise about the issue is the best thing we can do. Keep trying to bring attention to what we have going on, and don't take our foot off the throttle as far as applying the pressure and trying to get something, some kind of movement on this issue.
And I would second that. Everybody can do something. We can, you know, whether that's going to, you know, Capitol Hill here in D.C. or writing the letters or writing the emails, as my colleague Nick alluded to, everybody can do something to make a noise. And as far as, you know, our consumers go, ask questions of your local farmers, like get to know them, find out what they need, and find ways to work together. You know, we value our workers. They're extremely important to members of our team and even our family. And we want to continue to be able to have the opportunity to provide food for our fellow citizens here in the United States.
Well, really appreciate the perspective. Great thoughts from both of you here with us today. And I think it's safe to say, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but ag labor, probably one of the number one or two challenges we're facing in agriculture right now, isn't it?
It's our number one issue.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, again, to Laura and Nick's point, make your voices heard. Make sure you reach out and talk with folks and make sure they understand, and you tell your story and talk about some of these issues surrounding ag labor. Laura Hafner from Hays, Kansas. Nick Oman from Oceana County, Michigan. Laura, Nick, thank you both for joining us on Agriculture of America today and telling us some more about what you're doing there in D.C. this week. We appreciate it. We'll get you back on the show again in the future. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All right. Very important stuff there. Ag labor, definitely got to think about it. Make your voice heard. All right. Coming up here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Greases and Premium Lubricants. We're going to take a look at news headlines, including some more thoughts on what's going on with the farm bill out of D.C. We'll get to that and more coming up next as we're back with more on AOA, Agriculture of America, right after the break.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Great vision doesn't require great sight. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Make your impact today. Donate now at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge. But with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. The show today brought to you by Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit Cenex.com for more information. Well, as we continue to watch what is happening in terms of a farm bill, it's been a long process here. A lot of folks are wondering if we will get a new five-year farm bill completed here sometime this year, or if we'll have to extend the 2018 farm law yet another year. Well, Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow of Michigan repeated her threat to oppose a new farm bill if Republicans insist on taking funds from nutrition or conservation to fund it. Now, Stabenow told AgriPulse's Ag and Food Policy Summit that her earlier White House farm bill comments were, quote, blown up and misinterpreted, end quote. But then she repeated them.
I had said that I will not have my legacy cutting food assistance for Americans. That if that's the way you have to get a farm bill, or taking away conservation money from farmers, that if that's the way you have to get a bill, then, you know, we'll continue 2018 for another year, whatever.
Now, Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley, when confronted with Stabenow's quote, had this to say.
Either she budges or we don't get a farm bill, or she seeks money to put more farm in the farm bill, and that could be wherever you get more money.
But Grassley says that's up to her and ag ranking Republican John Bozeman of Arkansas, who insists a farm bill like a House advanced tax bill is still possible this year.
And I'm hoping that that'll be one of those that, you know, you work hard, doesn't look like you're making a lot of progress. And then, you know, maybe we get it done now. Maybe we get it done in the lame duck or whatever. But we want to get it done this year.
Now, Stabenow agrees, but after months of talks and the elapsed 18 law already extended 1 year through next September, both sides remain dug in on seemingly intractable ground. Now, it's an issue, again, that I know a lot of folks in farm country want to see resolved. They want to see a new five-year farm bill, and I would agree with them. I know it is a long process, though. Want to make sure that we get it done correctly, get it done right. So we're going to be watching this situation, and I know I've reached out to Senator Stabenow's office. I would love to get her on the show, get her perspective on this, because I'm wondering if, again, some of these comments, are they or are they not getting taken out of context? So we're going to work on getting Senator Stabenow on this program here to talk about this. And I know as well we're working to get Senator Bozeman back on as the ag ranking Republican. We've had him on before to share the Republican side. So we're working to see and continue to talk with our lawmakers on Capitol Hill, as I know many in farm country want to see this farm bill get done before the presidential election and before we would have to extend the 18 farm bill again for another year. So we're going to continue to watch this pretty closely. Well, USDA's Economic Research Service has reported U.S. agricultural imports exceeded exports by $16.6 billion in fiscal year 2023. For nearly 60 years, U.S. agricultural trade maintained a surplus, but in fiscal year 2019, the balance shifted to a deficit, where it has stayed three out of the last five fiscal years. Imports have largely followed a stable upward trend, while exports have had relatively wide swings from 2013 to 2023. Import values increased at a compound annual growth rate of 5.8%, and exports grew at a rate of 2.1%. Now, although the U.S. agricultural trade balance is closely watched, it reflects changing consumer tastes, a robust economy, and a strong dollar, and is not an indicator of export competitiveness or import dependence. USDA says the U.S. consumer's growing appetite for high-valued imported goods, such as fruits and vegetables, alcoholic beverages, and processed grain products, has contributed to the expanding trade deficit. Well, farm commodity prices have tumbled from the peak levels they rose to during spring of 2022, and new projections suggest that downward pressure on prices could continue through 2024 and beyond. The Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri recently released its annual Agricultural Market Baseline Outlook. The outlook provides projections for ag and biofuel markets and serves as a point of reference for evaluating alternative scenarios for food and agricultural policy. And another key finding from the report is that net farm income is projected to fall to its lowest level since 2020. Now, the report from FAPRI, the annual report, summarizes 10-year baseline projections for several economic indicators. It can be found on their website. Just go to fapri.missouri.edu. And I know coming up here on one of our upcoming programs of AOA. We're going to talk with Dr. Pat Westhoff with the University of Missouri and FAPRI and get some insights on this new baseline food and ag outlook. So looking forward to that conversation as well. Well, the 2024 Feeding the Economy report demonstrates the broad reach of the U.S. agricultural sector, drilling down to the state and congressional district level. Roger Cryan, American Farm Bureau Federation chief economist, says the report spans the entire agriculture supply chain.
It's an effort to put together the impact of agriculture on the economy. The report goes over the impact of agriculture upstream and downstream. And of course, farmers are at the heart of that. But it starts with the folks that supply farmers and goes all the way out to the folks that eat.
The report finds that agriculture accounts for more than one-third of the entire U.S. economy.
The direct impact of the food supply chain from farm to retail was about 24 million jobs, about $990 billion in wages, and $3.8 trillion in economic activity. When you add in the multiplied impacts, it's more than doubled to 49 million jobs and $2.8 trillion in wages and $9.6 trillion in economic activities.
And Cryan says the report is a key tool for advocating on behalf of agriculture, especially when it comes to the farm bill.
The agricultural supply chain is everywhere. It's critically important to the economy, let alone how important it is just to feed and clothe people. Numbers like this can help drive home to everybody in every state the importance to them of the agricultural economy and why it's so important to recognize that we need a farm bill to support that enormous engine for economic activity.
And you can find the full report online, feedingtheeconomy.com. We're out of time here on the show today, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. On the next AOA, we're going to have a conversation with USDA Undersecretary Jenny Lester Moffitt. Looking forward to that and more on the next program. We're out of time, though. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.